The Hoover Institution. A question Beijing wants Americans to ask. Commentary. A donor name appears in a disclosure. A campus publication connects it to a Chinese political network. Hoover fires back and says the wrong person has been identified. Within hours, the story is no longer only about a gift. It is about trust. That is the danger. The question around Chinese source money and the Hoover Institution needs discipline. It does not prove Beijing bought Hoover's conclusions. It does not prove Hoover softened its China work. It does not prove the Chinese Communist Party created the controversy. But it does create the kind of opening Beijing has learned to use well. An incomplete public record, a disputed claim, and enough uncertainty to make people suspicious of everyone involved. The immediate issue came from a Stanford Review investigation alleging that Stanford accepted at least $3 million in 2025 from a donor disclosed as Chan Yuan of China as a restricted gift for directed research at the Hoover Institution. Hoover responded sharply, saying the article incorrectly identified the donor as the chairman of the China Association for International Friendly Contact and relied on innuendo and speculation. That response matters. The most serious allegation is disputed. Still, the vulnerability remains. Hoover has been one of the more visible American institutions warning about Chinese Communist Party influence. Its own work has called for constructive vigilance toward Chinese Communist Party influence efforts in American institutions. That makes Hoover a useful target for reputational warfare. Beijing does not need to prove Hoover is compromised. It only needs Americans to hesitate before believing one of Beijing's sharpest critics. The fissure already exists. The first model is simple. Find a split already present and press on it. Solomon Islands offers the clearest example. The country's 2019 switch in diplomatic recognition from Taiwan to Beijing did not create all of its internal tension. The pressure points were already there. Provincial grievances, corruption concerns, ethnic divisions, resentment over Chinese commercial influence, and distrust of political elites. After the 2021 unrest in Honiara, the Australian Strategic Policy Institute documented how CCP-linked messaging shaped the local information environment by suppressing the truth and spreading lies around the crisis. Beijing did not have to invent the fracture. It had to steer public understanding of it. The goal was to cast critics as destabilizing, foreign-backed, or dangerous, while making Beijing's presence appear necessary. That is how exploitation works. The crack comes first. The information campaign supplies the pressure. When Beijing widens the crack, a second model is more aggressive. In this version, the fissure may be real, but the public voice around it is manufactured. Grafika's 2024 reporting on the Chinese state-linked spamouflage network found that inauthentic accounts masqueraded as U.S. voters and pushed divisive narratives ahead of the American election. Reuters reported that the same operation was impersonating Americans, disparaging U.S. politicians, and amplifying domestic criticism without consistently favoring one U.S. political side. Microsoft also warned that Chinese influence actors were using fake social media accounts to test which issues divide American voters and seed AI-generated content around sensitive political debates. The objective is not always persuasion in the traditional sense. It is atmosphere. Make the argument louder. Make the room feel angrier. Make Americans believe the most corrosive version of the debate is coming from their neighbors. Recent reporting makes the pattern harder to dismiss. Grafika reported in July 2026 that the Chinese state-linked spamouflage operation used manipulated event flyers in June and July to disrupt anti-CCP events in the United States and Europe, including activity connected to Safeguard Defenders and Pro-Tibet and Uyghur organizations. Real civic activity was targeted with misleading material meant to confuse, discredit, and fracture it. OpenAI identified a similar method in June 2026. Finding CCP-linked activity aimed at U.S. debates over AI data centers, electricity prices, tariffs, and technology policy. The campaigns did not need to create the underlying grievances. Electricity costs, infrastructure strain, and anxiety over AI growth already exist in American politics. The operation only had to make those arguments more combustible. Which brings the issue back to Palo Alto. The Hoover question is the opening. The Hoover controversy may have begun as a legitimate transparency question. It may involve a disputed identification. It may require more documentation before anyone can draw firm conclusions. Yet once the controversy exists, it has information value for Beijing. A funding question can become a credibility question. From there, it can become a talking point against one of the institutions that has spent years explaining how CCP influence works. This is the part open societies handle poorly. The same fact pattern can support legitimate accountability and still be useful to a hostile power. Suppressing the question would be a mistake. Leaving it unresolved would be a gift. The better answer is disclosure clear enough that Beijing has less ambiguity to exploit. That burden falls on elite institutions, not on the public. Universities and policy centers that study authoritarian influence cannot afford vague foreign funding disclosures, especially when money is restricted or tied to directed research. The public does not need every private donor conversation. It does need enough detail to know whether foreign source money is funding topics, centers, scholars, programs, or research streams that touch national security. The broader environment has shifted. The Justice Department announced on July 20th that it opened a compliance review into whether Harvard's China-based financial aid programs discriminate against American students by using restricted China-based gifts to favor foreign students, presumably Chinese students, based on national origin. That allegation is separate from Hoover, but it shows why foreign source funding in elite academic institutions has moved from compliance paperwork to a national credibility fight. For Hoover, the danger is larger than whether a donor shaped a conclusion. Incomplete disclosure gives Beijing, or anyone echoing Beijing's preferred narrative, room to turn a transparency question into a reputational weapon. The counterpoint matters. There is a necessary caution here. Critics should not overstate what is known. Hoover has disputed the most damaging donor identification claim. This public China work isn't aligned with Beijing-friendly messaging. A single reported restricted gift on its own does not prove intellectual capture. The problem is sloppy accusation can produce the same effect as hostile amplification. If every funding question becomes a charge of betrayal, serious oversight gets buried under noise. Beijing benefits from the static noise. The CCP's information strategy thrives in the space between secrecy and accusation. When institutions disclose too little, critics fill the gap. When critics reach beyond the evidence, Beijing gains another chance to portray the debate as political theater. The standard for professional journalism should be higher. A responsible response holds two facts together. Foreign source funding deserves scrutiny, and disputed allegations should not be treated as settled. That discipline is how open societies defeat gray zone influence without becoming part of the campaign. Clarity is the defense. The Hoover matter should be treated as a stress test. Can an American institution that studies Chinese influence meet a transparency standard high enough to deny Beijing an easy information weapon? Can critics raise legitimate questions without drifting into unsupported accusation? Can the public recognize that a foreign-linked controversy may be both an accountability issue and a tool of foreign influence? Beijing does not have to win the argument. It only has to make the argument feel unwinnable. It wants Americans to believe every institution is compromised, every warning is self-serving, and every source of expertise is just another player in the game. That is why transparency is both an offensive and defensive measure. It protects the institution, protects the debate. In this case, it protects the credibility of those willing to tell the truth about CCP influence operations. Silence would only make the hole bigger. Hoover and every major policy institution should disclose foreign source funding with enough specificity that Beijing cannot weaponize the unknown. The target is not only one institution's reputation. It is the public's ability to believe.